Restaurant Leadership Conference has always been the home for senior restaurant execs to collaborate and discuss current challenges and solutions. Be a part of this exclusive group from April 10th to 13th in Arizona. Register today at restaurantleadership.com.
Do not expect supply chain problems to get any easier very quickly. Hello, this is Jonathan Mays, Editor-in-Chief of Restaurant Business, and in this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, I speak with Keith Anderkin, the Chief Supply Chain Officer for the fast casual chicken chain Zaxby's. Chains have been increasingly giving C-level status to their top supply chain officers. Keith took his position last year, and we wanted his insights into the challenges with the supply chain, why costs are going up so much, and what the company is doing about it. Keith provides some great insights here, including challenges getting items into the door, how the company has responded, and what it is doing to maintain profits going forward. We talk about changes to the marketing calendar and the menu. He talks about construction and equipment challenges, which are also supply chain related, but we talk the most about commodity inflation and how long that is expected to last. Given the Ukraine invasion, do not expect it to be short. It's an interesting episode this week on an important topic at the moment, so please have a listen. All right, I'm here with Keith Anderkin. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to Zaxby's.
Yeah, I've been in the restaurant industry since college, actually before college. First job was busing tables in high school at a concept, and went to college for, actually ended up with an accounting degree and started in the finance side of a restaurant chain many years ago, and somebody convinced me to change careers and get into supply chain while I was still at that concept, and really haven't looked back ever since. Now that I'm at Zaxby's, this is the fourth company I've worked for in my career, and really excited about what we have going on here.
Mm-hmm. So your title, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Chief Supply Chain Officer, correct? I mean, we're starting to see more of this these days, and maybe I'm just noticing it because supply chain is a big concern right now, but we're seeing more C-level executives like whose main responsibility is supply chain. Is that kind of a sign of the way things are going right now?
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously supply chain, and it's not just since the pandemic, even before the pandemic, this function brings has really been elevated. In a lot of ways, you know, the cost pressures, supply challenges aside, a lot of concepts are starting to recognize this position deserves a C-suite role. Our function is engaged in every part of the business. You know, we impact labor. We impact, obviously, the marketing side. You know, it's to be able to have a seat at the executive level table is pretty critical, in my opinion. And so I'm glad to see that the industry is, and many concepts have seen it that way as well, and are starting to create this type of position within their companies.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest challenge you have right now from a supply chain perspective?
That it changes daily. And that's part of the challenge. Every day, you know, you come in and you get online and see the headlines, and you know, that's the world we're living in. From a supply chain perspective, that's a world that sometimes we get uncomfortable with. You know, we're definitely wired to solve problems, but usually we like to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, and then we go solve it. When there's no light at the end of the tunnel, it can wear people down, and that's sort of the world we're living in. You know, we came out of the pandemic, and you know, now we have a war going on, which has its whole other set of elements that we've got to really keep our pulse on and understand how it's going to affect our business.
Mm-hmm. So, the past couple of years, there's been like just periodic shortages of this and that. Do you still have that issue?
Yes, it's still going on. Feel like it's, for the most part, gotten quite a bit better. So many of those shortages were labor related. We do feel like labor across the industry has gotten in a little bit better position and a little more reliable, I guess, is one way to put it. There's still a lot of demand in our industry, which still creates crunches on supply periodically. But probably the biggest thing we're facing now, Jonathan, from a supply-related issue is more logistics. Still the freight side, even storage facilities, getting trucks in and out has been a real hiccup in our business and still continues today.
What kind of things that you're having? Is it deliveries or what's the problem?
It's more for us, thankfully we've got some very great distribution partners on our third-party distribution side. And despite their challenges that they've had as well, they've kept our stores in a really good spot from a product perspective. It's more what we're seeing now is more on the inbound side. Mm-hmm. So getting the product into those distribution facilities has been more the challenge right now.
So they can't get food into their facilities to deliver it to you. I mean, there's been a pretty big driver shortage, which seems to be probably more of a long-term challenge.
Yeah, the whole trucking industry is faced a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things in play through regulations to try to ease some of that, lowering the driving age, allowing some of these drivers to cross state lines where they couldn't before. All that will help better utilization of the drivers we have. So we're making progress as an industry going after some of those initiatives, and that should pay dividends for us down the road.
Mm-hmm. Have those challenges caused you any, have you been unable to get certain things into your, or at all?
I don't know if I want to say it out loud, but we've been fortunate enough to manage through this very well. It's taken a lot of hard work and effort, and being strategic with your suppliers and your partners. But there's been times where we've definitely had to pivot. In our industry, there's been certain items, and I don't want to get into specific items, but we've pivoted to a different product, a different specification, maybe even a different supplier temporarily that we had to go source and secure something. Those are just the levers we have to pull periodically to keep it going. Fortunately, our business at Zaxby's, we're, out of our, say, 920 restaurants, about 140 are corporate owned and the rest are franchise owned. Our franchisees are very understanding. They understand the challenges, and we're also fortunate that we've had record sales throughout this, mm-hmm. this whole time. I always say sales cure a lot of the challenges, when you're driving the top line. And yeah, we've got challenges on the bottom line side with cost of goods and other things, but great sales help make up for a lot of that. So we've been fortunate in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sales cures a lot of ills.
Exactly.
For sure. So in a situation, ads have challenges. And in situations like this, that has to put a lot of stress on your system. Like if you're seeing hey, we can't get such and such a thing, that you have to really start, does that require to sort of scramble, start calling a lot of people? What do you do in situations like
that? Yeah, well, exactly. What it does, a good supply chain team and leadership, this sort of gets back to being in the conversation in the right meetings at the highest level in the company. That way you're making people aware at the right levels and you're putting game plans to go after it. We've had to change our marketing calendar on a pretty quick notice just due to some supply challenges that we just weren't comfortable being able to promote a certain item. Some of that is cost challenges as well. We've pivoted to more cost-effective products to promote, which ultimately is the right maneuver. But that takes strong relationships, strong working relationships cross-functionally within the organization. And nobody's in their silos anymore. You've got to be working together. And if you have to change a specification on an item, that's all hands on deck to make that happen and get it approved, tested, et cetera. But that doesn't just happen overnight. You have to, if you've built that structure going into this, I think you're better positioned. I think a lot of companies have had to build it during the pandemic, and that'll serve them well going forward. But I use the adage, never waste a good crisis, because we've had to maneuver on really specification on some things that quite honestly probably would have never happened without a pandemic forcing our hand. And lo and behold, you know, our customers did not mind the change. And, mm-hmm. and quite honestly, sales kept going. And, you know, it's those kind of things that you actually find out. So many concepts are, and brands get, you know, there's always hesitancy, right? Do we want to mess with this or mess with that? What's the risk? And, you know, a lot of us are being forced to take that risk, and we're finding out, you know, it wasn't as bad a risk as we probably thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's one of the interesting, it seems like marketing calendars the last 2 years have been more suggestions than anything else. I've talked to so many operators that, you know, they've really had to work on their marketing calendars because of supply chain challenges and things of that nature, just the inability to get stuff in the door. I mean, I assume you work a lot with the marketing folks over there and stuff like that to say, hey, look, we can't get supplies of this. We're going to need to change that. How do you treat a situation like that?
Yeah, it's a, you know, we're roughly 4 to 5 big promotions per year from a marketing on media perspective. You know, we're very focused on making sure we've got supply to support those in advance. We haven't had to pivot, you know, just during a promotion to something else. We've been able to keep the product flowing for those promotions. But as I mentioned before, we've had to change a promotion, what we wanted to do. We made that change a few months in advance, knowing what was coming. But that's really just, you know, making sure you need a good pipeline of products in development that allows you to make those changes as necessary. I tell you, a lot of concepts have gone, and we do it as well. You know, you just go back to your core, you know, and you're doing fewer LTOs, perhaps, you know, focusing on those core products that you've been trying to build supply all along. However, at times, if those items get tight, you need those LTOs that you can bring in and relieve some of that pressure as yeah. well. But it's, look, I'm in meetings every day with marketing, and my team is, you know, we're always, what's next? What do we got to do? So very critical.
Cool. Right. So how are costs right now? We've seen a pretty significant inflationary environment. Do you see that easing at all?
Yeah, it's significant for sure. I call it hyperinflation. It never in my career have I seen anything like this. And, you know, we're all dealing with it across the board, and it's across pretty much all of our items and sectors. And I also manage our equipment and construction. You know, we're trying to build restaurants as well. A lot of challenges on that front. But the inflation pressure is, you know, once again, look, I don't see it easing. I think we all know the wage pressure is probably here to stay. Perhaps some of the commodity pressures underlying the, you know, ingredients and it's those type of things, perhaps freight may come back at some point, but I don't think we're going to see much relief until mid next year or beyond. And back to my earlier talking about the light in the tunnel, we all thought that would have happened by now. Honestly, we thought, you know, mid 2022 things we'll see some relief, and here we are approaching mid 2022, and not only have we not seen relief, it's things are even going even higher. So we need to build our business model and look at our menu, do all these things to make sure we can manage the inflation that's going on. And, and part of that is also price to the consumer, right? There's a lot of that going on as well in our industry.
Right. Yeah. We haven't seen price increases like this in 40 years, if ever, to be
perfect. And it's, to be honest, it's not even covering what we're all paying. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seems to be passing along diligently what they can and are comfortable with. But I will tell you, it's probably not covering all the inflation on the input side, for sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's actually a really good point. I mean, as I understand it, the food costs to restaurants are up in the 12 to 13% range, and you got wage rates up at least 11% over the past year. Prices are only up 8% for fast food restaurants, and that doesn't cover your costs. You know, and then you have the ancillary costs that you spoke about, which, you know, are also increasing. The cost of opening a restaurant these days is considerably higher, you know, assuming you can even get some of the equipment in.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's the brands that are going to succeed are the ones that can manage through that. You know, we're doing a lot of work on our end behind the scenes from assuming, you know, some of this is going to come back. We built assumptions on what that looks like and forecasted that out. And that's sort of the number we're targeting, making sure we can build the P&L to manage the business. But regardless, it's inflated from where it used to be. And I mean, we're taking a pretty deep dive into our menu, all of our menu offerings, portions, et cetera, to ensure we can still provide our franchisees and prospective franchisees a great business model and a return on their investment. And so that, honestly, that's a lot of our focus this year, taking a hard look at everything we do and how we do it. And in my world, you know, I'm over the cost of goods side of the business. So, you know, on the day-to-day, it's the food, beverage, packaging going out the door. But you mentioned wage inflation. As much inflation as we're saying from my side, our wage inflation is even higher. Mm-hmm. And it's a bigger impact on our P&L than the food cost side. And like I said, that's probably not going away. Are there things you can do to get labor out of the restaurant? That's how you're going to go after that. You know, so it's all the pieces working together. Is there a better way to do the back of the house to, you know, remove that labor, which could incur a little more food costs to make that happen, but you balance that out. So I would guess that every concept out there is doing a lot of activity in this area to manage through this.
Mm-hmm. Is there any pressure to sort of look at portion sizes or things like that to try to, I mean, we've seen a couple of companies that to maintain value offers, you know, they've sort of cut portion sizes. So like Burger King is cutting the number of nuggets in their 10-piece nuggets. It's now an 8-piece, I think, for value offers. And we've seen Domino's do something similar on its value. Is there any pressure to do anything similar to that? Or how do you treat that situation?
I think it's all under evaluation. I don't know if that's the best. And there's a reason I'm not in marketing. There's a reason I'm in supply chain. If I was in marketing, we'd probably be out of business. So don't let a supply chain guy run marketing. But, you know, I think there's the fine line and, you know, the whole value equation of price, quality, portion, and then experience, service, all that. All those elements have to be looked at. You know, if there's one thing, consumers definitely understand the pressures as well. The, you know, 8% price hike for this industry, you know, it's amazing. Consumers are just, you know, they understand and they're willing to go along with it, at least for now. But that being said, you know, we're looking at portions, we're looking at things. I don't think we would do it in the model of just remove portion. I think it's a rebuilding of our menu and a restructuring of how we do serve what are great products. Is there a way to serve it a little differently, focus on the items that are better margin, drive better margin, all that activity is going on.
Yeah, it's, I guess the next question is, you know, do you, I don't know, have you just seen a situation like this where you've got so many costs going up at the same time? I mean, I just think it's, I mean, to be dealing with labor and supply chain all at the same time, and yet consumers continue to come into your restaurants. Have you seen a situation like this?
I have not. You know, maybe back inflationary wise, you know, I remember back in 2006, mm-hmm. you know, things we had some pretty serious inflation going on across quite a few of the commodity side of the equation, you know, proteins, some of the underlying grains and other things. But you still had even back then, you had pivots you could, you know, make to other items. But today's world, there's nothing, not seeing extreme inflation. And that's the other part too, in managing your business and your, you know, we're fortunate enough. Yes, we're a chicken concept, and we do buy some pretty expensive parts of that bird, but we do have the ability to pivot. If one of those gets real tight on supply or out of the range of price that we think we can manage, you know, we're going to shift to something else. I'm fortunate that our concept has that ability. I think that's what a lot of concepts are trying to learn and figure out, that you've got to have those relief valves, so to speak, to manage through this. And that might mean bringing on a new item to allow that to happen. But it's absolutely, have not seen anything like this in my career. And I know you can see me and the others can't, but I didn't have gray hair until the last 2 years. So it's been a stressful time.
Yeah. So you mentioned equipment and construction. How long has it taken you to get equipment in?
Well, that's another area that sort of changes daily, you know, but there's certain items we're hearing, you know, almost up to a year lead time.
Wow.
You know, some big items, you know, but we're working through a lot of that. That's probably the biggest area for concepts that either have to replace equipment, or if you're aggressively building new restaurants, this is probably the biggest pinch point in our industry right now. You've got to, which fortunately a lot of concepts do, you know, you're going to have to buy in advance. You're going to have to do some things maybe that you weren't doing previous to this to ensure you've got the supply to meet your needs.
Right. So you guys got some pretty heavy growth demand. So don't you like, so you have to buy a lot more equipment a lot earlier, don't you? Do you just like, you know, buy fryers and stuff like that to make sure you have enough?
Yeah, you get, we've got commitments out there on those type of products. That's not to say we still don't have our challenges and opportunities. So even our commitments, you know, we're getting pushed out a little bit. I do think that, look, and been in this business quite a while, and there's some great suppliers across the board. You know, I actually feel for them as much as I feel for my own team, because their supply chain teams are dealing with the same issues my team is. And, you know, I always try to have that perspective when I'm, you know, when I'm pushing somebody to make something happen. There's people behind the scenes that are doing everything they can to make it happen, you know, and that's where you work together and you figure it out and you solve. And yeah, you might have to pivot to a little bit different spec on that equipment than what you ideally wanted temporarily. Those are the kind of things you work together with your strategic partners to make happen. And that's a lot of what we do.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think this environment's going to ease anytime soon, huh?
I don't, you know, and we thought with, you know, the Omicron variant sort of waning and, you know, life maybe getting back a little more back to normal, if there is whatever the new normal is, you know, at least we're hoping we were through that portion. Like say the labor side, at least what we're seeing, yeah, labor is still a challenge and it's expensive, which is, we get that. But now when people, they're out and, you know, they may be out sick, but at least they come back, where before they weren't coming back. And, you know, you can manage through that, and our suppliers can manage through that better. But now, John, with this war, I really don't, I mean, I just think that has global impacts across everything once again, that it's way too early to truly understand the implications as well as how long this is going to last. It has the same influences for the most part, other than labor, that COVID had. You know, it's going to affect our food supplies. It's going to affect equipment, all those things again that have been challenges for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, once you start messing with grain and oil cost, you really start. Yeah. I mean, the implications of that to me could be felt for a long time.
Well, you've got, you know, Russia is one of the largest exporters of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe up to 40% of the world's fertilizer comes out of that area. And our farmers over here were already facing record high fertilizer costs. And now the question is, where do they get it? And if they can't fertilize, what's that do to our crop yields and everything else? And over here, and suddenly the challenge has become even more apparent that we could have issues a year from now due to what's going on over there, over here in our area. So still, that's the kind of stuff we're trying to understand and dive into, working with our suppliers to truly understand. If there's one thing we've all learned in this pandemic as well, in our world, we try to dive as deep as we can with our partners and understanding cost and what goes into the products. And there was, I've got to be blunt, there was some ingredients that I wasn't aware of that I became aware of because we couldn't get them. that kind of world we live in today. Some minor ingredient that had no idea would be a challenge ended up being a challenge. And it's the good thing is you change specs and you pivot, but who knows where this might be going.
Yeah. Who knows? Sir, this was fantastic. Really appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And that should do it for this week's episode of A Deeper Dive, which was edited, as always, by Kimmy Kazmarek, artwork by Nico Hines. You may find this and other episodes of the podcast on our website at www.restaurantbusinessonline.com/article/deeper-dive. You may also find them on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else you get your podcasts. I'm Jonathan Mays, your host, podcast producer, and the editor-in-chief of Restaurant Business. Thank you for listening.
Don't forget, Restaurant Leadership Conference returns to Arizona this April 10th through 13th. Claim your spot now at restaurantleadership.com. Space is filling up quickly.